If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
God bless you, Mr. Ronald Reagan, and all you patriots out there listening to us right now on Soldiers of Patriotism on Blog Talk Radio, ConservativeNationRadio.org. We're pleased to have you here on this fine Sunday. It's the end of June. End of June. Can you believe that? It's the end of June, June 30th, and it's great to have you guys here. I got my brother from another mother. He's over in Hazlitt, Texas, and he's on his... Actually, he's Skyped in right now, but if he loses connection, then he's going to be in the big bucket until he calls back on his cell phone. And you also got my Uncle Ben in Tennessee. It's a Highland Rim headquarters, I guess you would call it. And we're getting off to a little bit of a shaky start here because I had some problems with my computer, and Michael's having problems with his computer. And so it's like we're like a big family of computer problems right now. But we'll get it fixed and we'll get it worked out. And we'll get it working. We'll get it straight. I left a Facebook post. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news this week. You know, we've got the Supreme Court decisions. We've got, Marco Rubio touting amnesty, which that's what it is amnesty. When you give people freedom after they committed a crime, that's amnesty. I'm sorry. I don't care how you want to dice it, slice it, look at it, chop it up, whatever. You know, we need an audio of that dude with the ShamWow thing, you know. I wrote something on Facebook, and some of y'all seen it, and I wanted to just kind of touch on this a little bit, you know, because we gripe and outright protest how our government is spying on us, okay, and rightly so. But why is it that we don't seem to be upset when we freely give out our information to the government on our gender, so they know what gender we are, male, female, our race, white, Caucasian, black, whatever it might be, you know, our marital status, our age, they know our ages. Our income, that of our spouses and our children, our Social Security numbers, for God's sakes. We don't even give them out to our doctors in some circumstances. And our children's. Our properties that we own and how much we owe on them. Our employer's information. Where we work, how much we make at our job, what we do. The amounts that we give to charity, our bank accounts, our personal property that we own, if we gamble or not, and how much we lost or won, our side jobs that we do on the side, that's why they're called side jobs and not like front jobs, front in your face jobs. You know, that's stuff that the government doesn't really need to know. The length of time we spend at a certain home or locale, the total miles we spend going to work, where we stayed on business, what we ate, what we drank, and if we want to contribute to the presidential campaign fund, that $3 that you send up there. For what good, I don't know what good that does. But all of this information and a lot more is already in the hands of the IRS. It's already there. They already have it. But we sit there and grow, whine and bitch and moan about, you know, this guy over reading over here in Russia that's selling our secrets, and rightly so. He's a traitor. He's a traitor because if he wasn't, he would not be over in some other country that respects the First Amendment less than we do in this country. He would be over here blowing the whistle and taking the heat instead of being in another country. But what I'm saying is that we're already giving this information out every year, every day, every month. It's already in the hands of the IRS, and it's given to them freely. Now, some might argue that's under coercion, but we still give them this information. We still give it to them. Now, I think they don't need to know. And I also think the IRS needs to be abolished along with a lot of other agencies that encroach on our freedoms and the Constitution. And that's just my thought for the day. I'm bringing in my brother from another mother, Michael B. Smith. How you doing,
Michael?
What's
going on, brother? I'm hanging in there.
I'm fine.
Another week behind us. We had an interesting week here in Texas, I guess. The whole country has heard about it by now. State Senator Wendy Davis, whom y'all have all heard me rail about from time to time, and my friend Connie Burton, that's at ConnieBurton.com. Of course, she's primarying against Dr. Shelton and another individual. I don't recall his name right off the top of my head. Mark Shelton ran against Wendy Davis last year. The way we do it with 31 senators, so when we start a new session, the senators, whether they've just run or not, at the start of the new session, have to draw lots to get the schedule going for who runs, you know, every 4 years. So Wendy, even though she had just reran and won in 2012 as a Democrat, In a otherwise Republican district, it's Arlington, Texas, which it's she ran in 08 and she beat the seated incumbent there, which was a Republican. She ran as a moderate. You know, you have to keep in mind in Texas, generally speaking, our Democrats are generally more conservative than most Northeastern liberals, but they're still Democrats. Well, she really showed her true colors. I mean, she's up there with Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi this last week when she got up. Now, of course, she has every right in the world to get up and filibuster, and I applaud her for that. I'd want someone on my side to do the same if I disagreed with the bill. It was the kooks in the balcony that and our lieutenant governor David Dewhurst that didn't listen to Senate Pro Tem President Pro Tem Senator Dan Patrick, who just announced this week, by the way, that he will be running for lieutenant governor, because the president, of course, of our Senate is like in the Congress, the U.S. Senate, it's the lieutenant governor, and he didn't listen to the Senator Patrick, who at 10:40 said 10:45 p.m. said it's time to cut this off. Let's bring this to a vote. He wanted to be the Mr. Nice Guy. Well, when he finally cut it off and started to allow the vote, of course, all the liberal loons were in the balconies, and the business of the Senate couldn't be conducted, and the time expired. So Governor Perry, of course, has called a special session. SB 5 will go on the floor tomorrow, Tuesday, and it will pass. Most people outside of Texas may not realize Senate Bill 5, the heart of among several things, the heart of it was to outlaw abortions at 20 weeks and later. In other words, they're going to still allow abortions from, you know, 0 through 19 weeks, but at that 20th week, abortions would be outlawed in Texas. Wendy Davis apparently does not, you know, I mean, by Peggy Noonan said this morning on Georgie Porgy Stephanopoulos that, you know, and she's right half the time that, you know, most Americans consider anything beyond 20 weeks infanticide. Well, in fact, it is. I mean, it looks pretty much like a normal human baby at 20 weeks. My niece, my brother's daughter, just had a baby born at 29 weeks. Now, if Wendy Davis would have had it, and the baby's 3 weeks old now, if Wendy Davis were to have her way, she would be saying it's okay to have had that baby that was born 3 weeks ago, that great niece of mine, to have murdered her.
Well, fantastic. I mean, you know, and you said this is not normal for Texas politics, right?
Oh, no. No, this was a mistake on the part of the lieutenant governor. This should have been voted down and will be voted down. The lieutenant governor, look, you know I'm no fan of Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst after what he did in the primary to Senator Ted Cruz. The man has lost all credibility in Texas. He's one of the richest men in Texas. He thought that he was the heir to Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson's seat by virtue of his long-established record in Texas politics, being one of the wealthiest men in the state. Well, we blew his ass out of the water. Along the way of trying to do that, though, he really upset the conservative Republicans of Texas, which are the majority of us. You know, where we get so bent out of shape across the country with the Republican Party, it's the GOP as a national party, which, you know, really pisses me off and tends to be in the middle, the mushy middle. But as a state party, it's fairly conservative. And this was a real eye-opener. I mean, Organizing for America, which is the old Obama campaign, Obama for America. It's now Organizing for America. It's now a PAC. They have set forth to what they call an initiative called Battleground Texas. Wendy Davis has made herself a folk hero. She was an otherwise unknown person outside of Texas, and frankly, unknown within the state of Texas, unless you live in the Metroplex area, which is Dallas-Fort Worth and all of the mid-cities between the two counties. Arlington is in Tarrant County. Now, mind you, Tarrant County is the reddest county of the state. I mean, we're a very red. We put in five new freshmen, fired five sitting GOP congressmen, fired them last year, and put in five new Tea Party freshmen who are down there working hard doing our bidding. Dr. Mark Shelton ran against Wendy Davis in Texas Senate District 10. I don't want to badmouth the man. He's a nice guy, but he was a bit inept. But he almost beat her. That's the remarkable thing about her being the sitting senator in SD 10. We'll get her this time. We've got a primary. We're going to probably have a brutal primary. Dr. Shelton's running again, as is Connie Burton. And I want to urge everybody that's within the sound of our voice, if you want to be a part, if you've probably seen Wendy Davis on the news, you've probably seen her in those dorky-ass pink tennis shoes she's wearing down there with a catheter inside her dress, because she stood there for 13 hours. So you can imagine what she was doing under her dress there. If you want to play the battle to defeat this lady, go to ConnieBurton.com. And contribute $5. Connie Burton, I know Connie personally. She's a good friend of mine. She was a leader on the field director, if you will, for the volunteer organization for Senator Ted Cruz. She's although Senator Cruz has not come out and endorsed her, quote unquote, you know, I endorsed Connie Burton. He has been on air and he has said, you know, shout outs to my good friend Connie Burton. So it's going to be interesting moving forward. Dan Patrick, who's the president pro tem for the Senate, is a senator out of the Houston area. He's the one that helped us get C-Scope defeated. And he tried to get Lieutenant Governor to do the correct thing. He's now going, along with Todd Staples and Jerry Patterson and some other folks, will be primarying against Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst. And then, of course, we know that Tom Paulkin, who was the director of the Workforce Commission, good man, good, strong, solid conservative, but he's going to primary probably against Greg Abbott, General Abbott, our attorney general. If Rick Perry decides not to run, the race is General Abbott's to lose, and Greg Abbott won't lose. So here's Michael's short list for 2012, or for the 2014 elections, if you're interested for governor, Attorney General Greg Abbott, for lieutenant governor, Senator Dan Patrick, and for state and help X's red. Because I hate to brag, but as goes X's, so goes the union.
Oh, brothers, I'm sitting there. I'm sitting there freaking out because I'm in a red state, all right, Tennessee. We're surrounded by eight other freaking states, And who do we got but Lamar Alexander and Bob Corker that voted for amnesty for illegals? And, I got people sitting there talking to me and calling me up and going, what are you guys thinking? I'm going, well, I ain't thinking that. I mean, this is embarrassing. It's freaking embarrassing. Here we are in Tennessee. We're not one state around us. Had one senator vote out of eight states. We're bordered by eight states, okay? But not one senator in any of these other states voted for this stupid bill. And here we got two senators that voted for it in Tennessee. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing to me, and I don't know what to do other than say that I'm going to try to get them out. We got a primary Lamar. We got to get Alexander out of there. Corker, he ain't due for another 2 years, but we got to get Lamar out.
Well, I gotta
got
to tell
to.
You, we've got
and I tell you what, I tell you what, after we talked with Patrick Leahy, last week or week before, I think his group might be the impetus to get them out of here. And got, I hope, I pray that they will. And it might be a name that we all know and love. So we'll have to wait and see. But we do have a lottery coming up, and we'll probably pass that. But
yeah, we've already passed it. We probably need to make a few bucks. But let me just say real quick, it is surprising with Tennessee, and if we could just get one Ted Cruz type senator in Tennessee, look, John Cornyn has been a rhino up until this year, and I guarantee you, Bing, it's only because he's sitting there with Ted Cruz as the junior senator. And he knows. I mean, he witnessed what happened in 2012, and he doesn't want to get primaried. That's why you're seeing this man be so cautious and not standing behind Mitch McConnell like he's done in the past.
Well, no, and that's the whole thing. You know, the deal is to think that I'm getting it personally. I'm getting really tired, Michael, of having to fight not my own party, but having to fight the GOP. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm done.
I mean, it's bad enough having to fight the Democrats. And we've got a guest, Butch Porter, coming on from the American Conservative Party up here at the bottom of the hour. And, you know, I'd love to hear what he has to say, what his party's about, this and that. But I'm getting so tired of having to fight our own people, you know.
Well, absolutely.
It gets tiring.
We're going to run a little long. I guess we'll go into this commercial break a little late, Bing, but you're absolutely right. I will never again contribute another single red cent to the national RNC. I will only contribute to a specific candidate. Now, granted, the candidates I will typically vote for will be Republicans. Typically. I get that. But I will not spend another rinse previous will never get another dime of my money. And if I give any money to another national party, I would venture to say it will probably be the Conservative Party USA.
Yeah, and Michael, I'll tell you what, when Lamar's up for election again here, I'm almost thinking if nobody's going to challenge him and we can't get that going, I'm going to vote Democrat, or I'm going to just stay out of it. But I probably will vote something else because, look, there is no difference between the two. You know, I got my two fingers on over each other, and I'm thinking, okay, who's on top? You know what I mean? There's no difference between the two.
No, there's not. Well, listen, brother, you know, speaking about conservatism, conservativenationradio.org is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee. Speaking of Tennessee politics there, Bing, we are so proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and some of the most informed guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. And it's brought to you by one of our new sponsors here, Tennessee Action Council. That's Inside Tennessee Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on the conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And welcome back, kiddies. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org, Services of Patriotism. It's Sunday, June 30th. It's the last day of the month. And, you know, me and Michael are just kicking it here a little bit. But it's a beautiful day out here in Tennessee. I know some other people probably are not having that great of luck with their weather. But just, you know, what a great day. Just, you know, Michael, I don't know what it is over there, like, with you, but I know up north and so on, they're getting, you know, a little bit of rain and that kind of stuff. But
well, we've hit our typical Texas summer. It's we're busting triple digits daily now, so it's beautiful right now, but it's getting hot.
Man, I seen up in Phoenix, it's 122. I mean, whoa, that's just way too hot, man.
Well,
but I tell you what, I'd rather have the heat than I would the cold. So.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I had to just burn my dang arm on the window. As a matter of fact, it's so hot. But it's good. Yeah. Well, and with the heat, a dry heat. I saw someone post the other day. It's only 120 degrees, but it's a dry heat. Yeah, that's like blowing a freaking a hair dryer in your face.
Oh yeah, that ain't no fun, man. You're gonna get heat rash real quick. I'm sitting here. I'm thinking, you know, with some of the stuff that's gone on this week, right? We've got, you know, the gay rights Supreme Court decision, which I don't really see. It looks to me like they just threw that back in the lap of the state, really. And
they
pushed
it out.
Yeah, what it was, yeah, they did. And what it looks like to me, what they did was they sat there and said the two plaintiffs that came up with, you know, against Prop 8 and so on, that they don't have a leg to stand on. Because you know why? Because their governor and their lieutenant governor did not have the gonads to sit there and fight this in court. It's a legal issue to me. I don't see this as being some kind of ruling, you know, you know, superb ruling from the Supreme Court. I just don't see that. As a matter of fact, I see it kind of as a travesty.
Well, you and I and everybody else in the remaining, what, nine states of the Confederacy that had been affected by the Voting Rights Act of 1964, whatever it was, got some welcome news this week when the court overturned Section 4 of that act. Speaking of Attorney General Greg Abbott, he immediately said that Texas will be enforcing its voter ID law.
Oh, that's great. You know,
which is almost identical, which almost mirrors Illinois, except for that the Supreme Court upheld it because it was not on it was not one of the nine states on the Voting Rights Act, but it was able to successfully say that Texas couldn't do theirs because we were a Confederate state and due to discrimination that happened, you know, way back in the 60s and earlier when that inspired the Voting Rights Act. So that was welcome news.
What, did Paula Deen call somebody the N-word or something back then?
Yeah.
You know, poor Paula Deen, man. I swear, you know, this is getting, it's getting crazy. It's getting totally crazy, and it's getting out of control. You know, even I think Al Sharpton even said, "Leave the woman alone." You know, maybe he's got stock in her company. I don't know, but the thing is that, you know, she. And I guess you have to take everything into perspective. If you have a woman, she was working at a bank back in what 1982, 84, something like that. And a black guy came in, put a gun at her head to hold her up, and she called him. I wouldn't be calling him a lot of names, but I'd probably be kicking him someplace, too. And she gets chastised over it. I mean, she is hemorrhaging from sponsors all over the place. And I'm thinking, man, I want to sit there and, you know, help her out somehow.
Well, you don't see Target and Kmart and those stores taking the rap CDs off the shelves that use the same word. I mean, we're talking about a party that embraced Senator Robert Byrd, who was the grand poobah or whatever they are for the KKK.
Oh yeah, you know, but they don't understand that. They don't realize that, you know, and if they don't understand that, you know, it was not the Democratic Party that got them out of slavery. It was the Republican Party.
Yeah.
They don't understand that. And now I'm sitting there fighting my own Republican Party on different issues that I don't want to fight them on. And it's not really they should stay out of it. You know, the amnesty bill and all this crap. You know, we got Marco Rubio. And I've been telling you guys for I don't know how long, weeks, months, years, that Marco Rubio is a little stage front. You know, he's a one-trick pony, and he's going to be up there. He's going to try – he's got up there on the backs. He rode on the backs of the Tea Party movement. And here he's sitting there betraying us because he is – anybody that sits there and votes for amnesty is voting to basically say, okay, you robbed the bank, all right? We're going to go ahead and we're going to forgive you robbing the bank. We're just going to make you, you know, pay your fine or whatever. They're talking about this ain't amnesty. It is. It's amnesty. I don't care how you want to slice it, dice it, chop it. It's amnesty.
Well, you know, up until January of this year, we only had Senator Rubio, who was the child of Cuban immigrants, and we've seen where he's fallen into the establishment. But we've got a very fine comparison in Senator Ted Cruz, who is also the son of a Cuban immigrant. And his steadfastness against this amnesty crap is so inspiring to see a man stand on the principles of the Constitution, who for all practical intents and purposes is the equivalent, the Texas equivalent to what Rubio was in 2010, but this man's not compromising his principles nor what he told us when he was running in the primary and subsequently in the general election.
But no, and you know the thing is too is that with I just seen today that Ted Cruz is eligible to run for president. Wait, you know, where's the media as far as Obama's eligibility?
Well, they're being very, very tight-lipped about that over in Dallas, and but I do know that Senator Cruz is the kind of man that, if he feels that it's necessary for him to run, he will run. Now, I'm torn on the subject. I would kind of like to see Senator Cruz stay in the Senate. But at the same time, the fire's hot right now, and this might be his time. And he might need to hit while it's time, and he may be the man to go up against Hillary Clinton because, frankly, Bing, there's nobody else out there that I can even see myself remotely doing grassroots work for.
There's one guy here in Tennessee that I can't, but we'll just let that slide for now. But I think his initials are JC.
I could do it for Joe too. But
yeah.
But with the field as we know it right now, and with Cruz's name floating around, I don't trust Rand Paul. I like Rand Paul, but I don't trust him enough. I think we might see his daddy slip into that somehow, and I'm not a Ron Paul fan. I'm just not.
No, I like Rand, but the thing is that when he sits there and says, you know, he came out basically in favor of amnesty, you know, but he didn't want to call it that. So I'm just jaded on a lot of them.
Well, what I don't get is the Republican Party thinks that we've got to have the Hispanic, that we've got to bring these Hispanics. Look, nothing against Hispanics. They're hard, good, hard, decent people, hardworking folks. But unfortunately, there's a majority of them that are like all the other poor scum, regardless of color in this country. They want the freaking freebies. And that's just the way it is, and it ain't going to change. And the only way we're going to bring them in is to become Democrat-light. And so help me God, if that happens, the Republican Party's dead.
Oh, definitely. We're up against a little hard break here, Michael, so let's go ahead and take that if you don't care to.
Yeah, go right ahead, bro. It's your show today.
Okay. It's my show today. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps you to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. You're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism, and the number here is 718-305-7176. We already got some people called in, and we got Butch Porter on the line, and right after this short break, we'll get them on.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE. To talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm sorry. Welcome back to Soldiers Patriotism. The number here is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. We're proud to have Rich Porter, and we'll bring him on here, from the American Conservative Party. And, Rich, welcome back. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks to be here. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Oh, no problem. Hey, we're having a slow start too, man. As soon as I get this DJ or radio show host figured out, then we'll be all right. But tell us about the American Conservative Party and what you guys stand for. And, you know, I don't know if you listened to a little bit about what we were talking about. We don't trust the GOP anymore. We I'm tired of fighting them all the time. But
well,
tell us about your...
Yeah, I think you have the right idea. I mean, I think is it Michael, the guy in Texas that was talking?
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Sorry.
That would be me, Michael.
Yeah,
Michael.
I mean, you were talking about, you know, not giving any more money to the RNC and just focusing on the right candidates. And for all intents and purposes, practically, that's not a lot different than, you know, joining the ACP. Because right now we're not, you know, we're a startup party. We're in a world where there's, you know, two parties that have any money. And so that, for all intents and purposes, in a lot of ways, that's what we're doing. On the other hand, the ACP was started in 2008 to, you know, eventually become a viable, actual, you know, full-fledged third party, and we're working towards that. I will say that one of the things that I think we always encourage our members and people who want to be members to keep in mind is that that the, you know, conservatism in America does not begin and end with the federal government. And so it is important for us not to, at least for a few minutes, not for very long, but for a few minutes, take our eyes off of Washington, D.C. and look at what's happening in our state governments and in our local governments. And that's where I think we can be effective. We were started as a party tailor-made to work from the ground up to become a relevant force for limited government. We are focused like a laser on limited government. That's what, you know, that's what gets us up in the morning, and that requires diligence at every level, not just the federal government. So while we support, you know, Republicans at the federal level who are upholding our principles, at the same time, we're trying to build an organization that can begin to run candidates at the state and local level as soon as we can. So,
how much difference is there between, say, the Conservative Party and the Tea Party? Or is there?
Between the Conservative Party and the Tea Party, I think there's a lot of similarities. The ACP was around for roughly a year before the Tea Party. What's funny about that is I'm not the chairman of the ACP, but I was for about 3 years, and I became chairman almost to the day of the very first Tea Party. And it's sort of been a blessing and a curse because a lot of things, if you look at the way the Tea Party was branded and the way that it, the things that it really focused on, those are things that the ACP focuses on. It's mostly, you know, fiscal things. It's limited government. It's federalism. It's, you know, stopping crony capitalism and all of that. And I think I think it was good for us because the Tea Party did a lot to wake people up, and so we did get a lot of people paying attention to the ACP at that same time. On the other hand, the Tea Party was pretty much taken over within 4 months. I mean, I watched it. We had a Northern Virginia Tea Party that I was involved with, and that for about a year, and then that sort of went another direction. But it took about 4 months. You're looking at between April of 2009 and August of 2009. What happened to the Tea Party was that it went from an organization that was focused on, you know, TARP and car bailouts and Medicare Part D and stimulus package and all those things, and it morphed into something that was focused almost, you know, like a laser on Obamacare. And that wasn't accidental. I watched that happen. Checks started being written and all that. So these national organizations really started focusing on things that the Democrat Party was responsible for and sort of stopped focusing on the things that the Republican Party was responsible for. And the Tea Party, you know, held with the GOP. I mean, explicitly and undeniably, they held with the GOP. Which wasn't necessarily good for us. And to be honest, there for about 18 months, the ACP was pretty silent. And the reason is because when you have a Marxist in the White House who's up for re-election, having a third-party conversation is a awkward thing, right? I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it was. So, but now that the election is over, there's been a fairly decent resurgence of interest in the ACP. We've had a lot of new members since then, and things are moving again. And the Tea Party isn't really the same as it was in 2009 and 2010. It's a slightly different animal. So I think it's better for us now than it was then, in a sense.
Well, that's great. You know, just being a Tea Party activist myself, we were looking back at that point in time, okay, years ago, and saying, look, you know, we've got a bus. It might have a bunch of extra stuff on it that we don't need, like, you know, horns that don't blow and, you know, extra tires that we don't need, and we want to get rid of the weight, but, you know, we want to use the bus and the vehicle to get us to the destination. And it seems like that did not pan out very well. I mean,
well, no, and
you know,
the truth is,
in a way it did two years ago, but it's not panning out because in the overall scheme of things, these people are going to keep on doing what they want to do, and it's not in our best interest.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, your group seems like it offers like a different total perspective and mindset on how to deal with you know, the upcoming elections. You know, and with the candidates, I mean, I'm wondering, you know, are you guys going to be endorsing certain candidates? Are you going to, what else are you going to be doing as far as that goes? And how do you feel about what I just said?
Well, sure. Let me back up to what you said a while ago. I think you're right. The Tea Party did sort of choose, and I was, you know, involved in that too, to sort of look at the ship that they had available to them and use that ship for the calls, and it worked. But I think a lot of times, we have a tendency to sort of think about these things circularly, right? There's a little bit of circular reasoning that goes on when we talk about party politics nationally, especially. And what happens is we start to think for some strange reason that if Republicans win, we win, and that's that. It sounds great at first. In other words, look, the Tea Party did a great job. They got a bunch of Republicans elected. But if you look at where they got Republicans elected, you know, has anybody even heard of a Blue Dog Democrat anymore? Is anybody? I mean, they're all gone. I mean, they're all gone. There aren't any left because Republicans beat them all. That's where they won. The only thing they accomplished was taking over the House of Representatives. and getting rid of any rational Democrat that was left in the House of Representatives. Not that they were rational before, but they were at least attempting to be. And they're all gone. So what we have now is a House run by the Republicans, but, you know, kind of follow what the, as you kind of alluded to, follow what they've done differently. I mean, what have they really done differently from a limited government standpoint? And I would argue that if you look at transportation bills and farm bills and all those things that, you know, the Congress does on a regular basis, there hasn't really been much of a change, you know? I mean, that stuff's still going on. I mean, obviously they're fighting Obamacare because that was a Democrat initiative, but they're not backtracking on any of the nonsense that Republicans have done over the years that were blatantly big government. So, and to answer your question, yes, we do want to get involved in 2014 and in endorsing candidates, and we're putting the pieces together to help do that. But in the end, we want to be advocates, right? We want to be advocates for certain ideals and certain positions, certain policies that we want to have enacted, and that's where we want to spend our time and build membership over. And some of those issues are federal, and some of them are sort of universal. But we want to make sure that we're pushing for the issues that we want to push for, and that we're not spending all of our time with elections. Because I think that's one of the mistakes that third parties make, is that they become about elections, and since they lose all the elections, they become very, very irrelevant. So we want to build a party on ideas and build a party on positions on conservative policies. And that of course, takes some time, but eventually we'll earn the right to run the candidates. And that's kind of the order in which we want to do things.
Well, you know, Butch, this is Michael in Texas. From where I sit,
hey, Michael.
I mean, I guess I'm what you might call a Tea Party activist. I generally refer to myself as a conservative activist. But
sure.
Most of my
Me
circle
too.
Of friends are Tea Parties, and I go to a local – when I go to Tea Party meetings, I go to my local, you know, Boiling Point Tea Party here in my little corner of Texas. And from where I sit in Texas, Tea Party grassroots and conservative activism was phenomenal. What we accomplished last year in 2012 was just great at the state level and insofar as putting Ted Cruz in and defeating
sure.
David Dewhurst in our primary. Nationally, though, I don't see where the Tea Party, and maybe it's the conservative party that can do this, but nationally, I saw the overall picture was pretty much a failure. I mean, we made no gains in the Senate. You know, the fiasco in Missouri with Todd Akins, the fiasco with Murdoch. We've successfully allowed the left, both the politicians on the left and the mainstream media, to paint us all as a bunch of fascist racists. We've let ourselves get drug into social issues, and not that social issues aren't important, but look, if we lose this country economically, there's not going to be anything left to fight for socially.
Well,
and
you're right.
We've gotten away from that.
Well, I agree. You know, the ACP has always sort of made its way by not really getting involved in social issues to speak of. We have no official stance on what happened last week, other than, you know, the Defense of Marriage Act had problems to begin with, and as Bing alluded to, they didn't really make a decision about, you know, Prop 8 in California. They just said they couldn't take it because of standing. So, you know, the problem is that an election is a really hard, and I'll get back to what you were talking about Texas, because I think you have a good point there. But I think an election is a very, very poor time to try to change people's mind on cultural issues, right?
Oh,
I just
bingo.
Number one, politicians can't make that change anyway, and they shouldn't try. I mean, that's, you know, we're all, I'm assuming you guys are guys of faith, and I'm, you know, I am, and many of our members are, most of our members are. I think that's where that change has to happen. We can't do it legislatively. We can't do it through the courts. The truth is, and to jump on that issue, when the federal government gets involved in social issues, social conservatives will lose every time. and even a state government, they will eventually lose. You put California as a looking at the referendum. Once you say that a government has to decide what is a marriage and what is not, and this is something they've really never had to define before, it's just been kind of in essence a truth. Once a government decides, then we lose, because the government will decide something later on, even through referendum. That's problematic. So I'm with you, Mike. I think we have to stop, this is very evident with our current House of Representatives. Haven't they lately been trying to pass abortion bans or whatever? I mean, they're doing things to make themselves look conservative, but when it comes to the real stuff that can make them conservative, like I alluded to earlier, transportation and food and farm bills and things like that, they're not even making an effort. It's not even on the top of their brain. And so I'm fairly confident that that there's a tendency of the Republican Party to act in the interests of the Republican Party. And if you look at Ted Cruz being a notable exception, I think Ted Cruz is the exception which defines the rule of how limited the success of the Tea Party has been over the last 4 years to actually succeed in conservative change. They may have moved a lot of seats from D to R, but I don't know that they've really massively succeeded in conservative change. And I think it's evident that if you look at the last four Republican revolutions, right, you look at, and this is where that circular reasoning comes in that I think is challenging. You look at, 60, Barry Goldwater, whatever year that was. In the 60s. And then, 68, that's what I meant. Yeah, 68. Yeah. And then, Ronald Reagan in the 80s. I mean, my congressman came in with the Reagan Revolution, Frank Wolf. And he's one of the most useless limited government congressman in the Republican Party. I mean, there's no doubt that he hasn't been a limited government guy for a long, long time. So, and he pushes for things that, left-wing groups really like. So it's really aggravating. And then you had, Newt Gingrich in the 90s, and then you had 2010, which admittedly was a huge swing towards the Republican Party. None of those revolutions within the Republican Party has resulted in reducing the size, scope, and madness of the federal government. So why should we keep trying to change the Republican Party and thus improve the – because when you make the Republican Party more conservative, the Republican Party succeeds, right? I mean, that's kind of the lesson there. But in the end, the Republican Party succeeding hasn't resulted in more conservatism, because as soon as they're in power, they lose all perspective and they do things like they're doing – they're not even in power now. They're already screwing that up. Like the immigration bill. So I'm done. I've been done for 4 years, 5 years, but I just don't think there is a place I don't think there's any room left for us to assume that changing the Republican Party and helping the Republican Party succeed, those things in and of themselves will not save our republic. And so we have to think outside of that. And some of that means what Mike is saying is just focusing on the candidates and ignoring Ryan Priebus and his marketing prowess. But also it means only working for Republicans that uphold our values. And if they don't, we reserve the right in a free country to run somebody against them. So.
Well, absolutely. And to what I was saying there about here in Texas, where we've been affected is exactly what you're saying. It's been – since the election, since January here in Texas, as the United Texas Tea Party, because most of all, unlike the various state, from state to state, the Tea Party is different. In the state of Texas, the Tea Parties are pretty much on the same page. Outside of the election world, what we've done in some of the measures that we've been instrumental in helping get pushed through our House and our Senate, And bending the finger of Governor Perry has been quite remarkable. We've been very active, and I'm sure a conservative party could do the same thing. Sort of the fiasco we had, which was David Dewhurst's fault earlier this week with that whole Wendy Davis thing. But you're absolutely right in that, you know, things have to be done, just not at election time. It requires hard work every day of the year.
Yep.
And staying on top of your House of Representatives, like my guy Matthew Krause here locally, or my Senator Jane Nelson, or my state senators, it's constantly staying on top of them and letting them know, sending them that message and letting them know, I've got my eye on you. And if they
sure.
notice you're an active person, amongst a group of active people that can make a difference, they're going to pay attention.
Well, that's kind of the value. Go ahead, Bing.
I was just going to interject real quick. We are talking to Butch Porter of the American Conservative Party, and the number here is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. But we're going to interject real quick, too, there's candidates in other states that, whether they'd be running for local legislature, the Senate, whatever, Congress, we need to support them because there's certain people that actually do deserve that support, even from out of state. We don't know, if there's going to be another Ted Cruz that springs up from them. Is there going to be another, and somebody correct me in channel, I think Duke was Barry Goldwater was in 64, Nixon was 68, Reagan was 80.
That's right, 64 then.
And Newton, the House and the Senate was 1994. But, you don't never know, where these people are going to spring up from. What happens in one state bleeds over to another. What happened in my state was a travesty. In Tennessee, like I said, earlier, I don't know if you were here, Rich, but, I said, both my senators, Lamar and Corker, Bob the Porker Corker, and Lamar, running with his tail, he just, whatever. But they both voted for this amnesty bill, and that's what it is. And I got eight states around me, and none of those senators voted for this bill. So it's embarrassing.
Sure. Yeah, and that's not near as bad as the fundamental fact that even though immigration is a huge issue and lately it's been gay marriage and there's all kinds of issues, but the truth is, when is the last time that anyone other than the libertarians that we know in Congress, and God bless them, although I would never describe myself as a libertarian, they do hold value. By the way, on that note, I think there's one great place for libertarians, and that is the United States House of Representatives. I would like to have about 40 of them in there. I'll take 40 Ron Pauls in the U.S. House. I just don't want them anywhere.
And I wouldn't disagree with you in that with that statement, Butch.
Yep.
I would.
As long as they're not in the Senate or the White House, especially the White House, then I think that's where they belong. The United States House of Representatives. So to get back to the point, if – other than the Pauls, can you think of any Republican congressman or senator in the last, 20 years that's actually brought up a bill that would begin to bring our federal government back to a more constitutionally sound federal government? And we're talking about departments, and there's a huge swath of the federal government that should not even be there, and I haven't seen a whole lot of Republican movement so to your point, it's not just what they're doing. What they're doing is what is being done, right? It's what they have available to them, right? These are the things that the Senate does, right? And until that culture changes and there's somebody up there doing other things, then it's going to be really, really hard for us to accomplish anything positive. Somebody's got to say, eliminate the Department of Education, eliminate the Department of, Energy, Agriculture, all those things. And there's been a severe lack of that from the Republican Party in, decades.
Well, digging on this amnesty.
There's a big list there of departments that I think should be gone. The IRS, EPA, Food and Drug Administration, Department of Labor, Department of Health and Human Services. Hello, see ya. Severely.
There's a place for Health and Human Services, but there's just it's a much smaller one. But there's some low hanging fruit, and I think agriculture, energy, and education is where you start.
Go ahead, Bing.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, speaking of the immigration thing, and I wanted you to talk to us a little bit, if you would, Butch, as far as the Conservative Party on a couple of notes. Starting with this immigration thing, the Republican Party seems to think that we have got to somehow or another convince illegal aliens that we're on their side. I don't get it. There's a whole community. Bing and I have hundreds and hundreds of friends that are great, strong, solid American conservatives from the black community.
Sure.
And the black community in general has very strong conservative principles, yet we don't have anybody up there, maybe short of Louie Gohmert, to answer your question, by the way. Louie Gohmert from Texas is a strong conservative-minded representative in the House.
Sure.
That's
yeah,
the only
Louis's
one
great.
I can think of. But nobody up there in the House or the Senate is doing anything to introduce bills to strengthen the neighborhoods of the black community and bring fiscal strength to the individuals. And all of my Wayne Dupree, Christopher Arps, K. Carl Smith, Star Park, all these good friends of ours are talking about. Look, you need to talk to the community about what. Forget about abortion. I mean, look, that stuff's important, and I don't mean to say that it's not. We've been fighting the battle here in Texas. But we got to talk. My point is we've got to talk about bringing people in by freeing them from the shackles and chains of government oppression and overtaxation.
Sure.
And
right.
The community to do that with is the African American, the black, I like to say the black community. I don't like the term African American. The black community.
The
and
urban nobody, community.
Right. Nobody's doing it. Instead, we want to focus
right.
on illegal aliens. Talking about all of, like, Wolf, your guy, my second question to you, it's a two-part question. I've always been a free market guy. I'm a free market guy right down to voting. If I want to reelect Senator Ted Cruz for the remainder of his life as the senator of Texas, then I think it's a free market decision, with the exception that I'm starting to think about there's too many apathetic Americans that don't care, that people are getting in, they're staying up there, and the absolute power is corrupting them, and they're getting bought by special interests, so therefore maybe we do need to have term limits. So those are the two things I'd like you to address from the point of view of the Conservative Party.
Sure. No, those are two really, really good questions. What was the first question again, though?
Addressing the black community and
empowering. Okay, black community, that's right, yeah, that's the question. Okay, well, look, I'll go with that first. I know Chris Arps, he's a good guy. Kim McClinton and I has the exceptional conservative show. That was
a great spin-off. Great friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah, Kim McClinton's a good guy, and he and I went to the MoveOnUp.org conference a couple years ago, and those are good people. I'll tell you, though, I have a little bone to pick with them, and that is, I think our responsibility as conservatives is not simply to ask people in Congress to do things. And if you look at the city of St. Louis, not to pick on Chris, but I'll pick on Chris. Look at the city of St. Louis. When's the last time that there was a Republican mayor? When's the last time there was even a Republican alderman in the city of St. Louis? Ask the same thing about, you know, Philadelphia, Detroit, Madison, Miami. I mean, you look at any of the liberal cities, which, by the way, we're talking U.S. Senate. The reason why Tea Parties can't, as a rule, get, you know, senators elected is because they're statewide races. And it's harder because you have urban madnesses that are controlled by the Democrat Party that you're going to get, 90-some-odd% of the vote for a Democrat in those precincts. And I think the reason is because we as conservatives, and the Republican Party in particular, have dropped the ball when it comes to our cities. We don't need Congress. We don't need congressmen coming out of those districts. We need mayors and city councilmen who understand limited government and free enterprise and rational thought. And to the point of the ACP, I think the American Conservative Party, if they went door to door in an African American a predominantly African American urban community, they would make a lot more progress. As long as they weren't doing it just to get some schmuck elected, they would make a lot more progress than the Republican Party can, because the Republican Party's brand is shot in those communities. It's shot. Now, it may be part of it's not their fault, but part of it is. And I think the GOP can plead innocence when it comes to, you know, not being definitively racist, bigot, homophobes. But they are to blame for being negligent. I'll tell you a quick story. I talked to a guy in Atlanta a few years ago. This is right when I became chairman, right when the Tea Party was coming out. This is early 2009. Some guy joined from Atlanta, and I could tell by the location and the name that it might be a black guy. So I called him up, and I said, what brings you to, you know, the ACP? And, you know, I'm assuming you're not surrounded by a bunch of right wingers. He said, "No, I'm all by myself." And I said, "Why would you? And, you know, why not join the GOP? I'm sure they'd love to have you." And he goes, "Well, I joined the GOP, but I realized that the only time they come to downtown Atlanta and talk to black people is about, guess what? You want to know what he said? What the issue was?
What is that?
I have no
gay
idea.
Marriage." Gay marriage. It's only there was a referendum in Georgia at some time early 2000s. The only time they came down to talk to black people was about gay marriage, because they know that they agree with them on it. But what about entrepreneurship? What about free markets? What about, you know, individuality? What about, you know, the core value of independence and free markets being the things that can bring urban communities back, you know, back to rationality. Those things are never discussed because they're too hard, you know, because you might come across as, you know, not sympathetic to poor people or whatever it is. And I, you know, there are people who have been able to do that and do it successfully. But it takes a long conversation over a long period of time, and the first place to start is local government, is your city government. That's where you start. And if you want to change the urban communities, you change it by not asking the federal government to do something, but to teach people that they can do it themselves. And that takes more, as you alluded to earlier, that takes more than just elections.
Butch, can you hold your thought for just one moment? We need to
yeah,
take
y'all
got to
take a break. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we ran 10 minutes long on that, and our program director is listening, so he's going to scold being out.
Oh, he's going to kill us. But, Butch, yeah, if you can hang on, we got some callers on the line that want to ask you some questions and so on. I think I got
and
another question.
And we still need to answer
good.
On the term limit thing and your thoughts on
that. I do. I'd love to answer that. I'd love
yep.
to. Go ahead.
And you're talking to Butch Porter from the American Conservative Movement, and that's AmericanConservativeMovement.org. And you just go there and pardon me?
AmericanConservativeParty.org.
Yeah, American Conservative Party. I'm sorry. But, yeah, we're going to just take about a two-minute break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll get some callers in here.
Being real quickly, while we're talking about our program director, Duke Brooks, who's going to scold us for going 10 minutes long, our friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, you know, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? Get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, right here on the conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And Bing, we'll be right back with Butch Porter and get the answer about the American Conservative Party's thoughts on term limits.
Right. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hey, welcome back to Soldiers of Patriotism on ConservativeNationRadio.org. The number here is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Mitch Porter from... the American Conservative Party, and he's given us some pretty good insight on you know, the distinctions between the Conservative Party and the Tea Party and the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and so on. And I guess Michael's got a question as far as the well, Michael, go ahead and ask your question.
Well, do you still have the question, Butch? It was, I'm
sure.
Pretty much a free market guy, but my opinion, and whereas I would say I want to vote for Senator Cruz for the rest of the time he desires to be in the Senate, I don't think at the expense of what it means it's necessarily a good idea anymore. In other words, I'm starting to lean in the favor of term limits, which is something I've been grossly against my whole life, because I believe that the voting is the term limit, but there's just too many apathetic Americans, and we're getting people in there that are getting consumed in the power of the office and the money that they're getting, and it's not to anybody's, it's not to the country's benefit.
Sure. Now, those are all good points. I'll tell you, I'll preface this with a little disclaimer that the ACP does not have an official position on term limits that I know of, and so I'm not gonna give you what I would describe as the official position. But I'll tell you the discussions we've had and my feelings on the matter, and a lot of our feelings on the matter, is that your original thought, your feeling, your core gut feeling on the matter was the correct one, and that is that term limits are appropriate for the executive branch, and I would describe them as inappropriate for the legislative branch. And let me tell you why I think that way, and the reason I think that way is I think you're operating under a false pretense, leaning in that direction, and the pretense is that, yes, we have apathetic Americans, but if you believe that their apathy will be solved, or that the failures of Congress will be solved by having term limits, I think that's a false assumption. And I think what would happen is, and being a third-party guy, I think what would happen is the parties would have more influence. The GOP and the Democratic machines would have more influence and not less. They would pick their successors, and I don't think anything would really change. Now, and as a result, what you get is not a lot of change, but you also allow the legislative branch to lose a little bit of its power. And I think from a checks and balances standpoint, I think that you're right. I mean, congressmen and senators do get entrenched, and they do get and they do get corrupt. But the fault for that is not that they've been in there too long. It's that nobody, as you described, everybody is very apathetic and they're not really paying attention. You've seen the polls about, you know, everybody hates Congress, but they all love their congressman, right? You know,
right.
So it's really incumbent upon us, if we're going to solve a problem, to solve it the right way. Because if we try to solve it the wrong way, we will make things worse. And I'm not saying the term limits will ever pass. I mean, I think the odds of Congress limiting itself is slim and none, and swims off on vacation somewhere. But if I'm just saying, but if it were possible to do that, if you had enough congressmen that were willing to limit their terms, I think we would have already won what we needed to win. Right? This is why,
yeah,
you know, when we talk about, you know, people talk about conventions, you know, about you know, having a constitutional convention to solve some of our problems. I think once we got to the point where we were comfortable, and I'm not right now having a constitutional convention. Once we got to the point where we had enough people, we were comfortable having a constitutional convention, we could have gotten done what we needed to get done without it. So I think that the line of reasoning which you originally had, in my opinion, and I'm just me, is the right one, and that is, it is not proper to limit our choices. And if we get a guy in there, I mean, did anybody want to kick out, you know, Jim DeMint before he wanted to go? I mean, I don't think.
Good point.
And so, I don't think so, and I don't think we want to kick out Ted Cruz until he becomes a corrupt son of a gun, and he probably will eventually. So,
well,
I mean, they usually do. So the point is that we need, and if you do that, if you start kicking people out after two terms in the Senate and, what, four terms in the House or whatever the popular approach to it is, I think you give more power to the executive branch than it already has. And I think you need strong and entrenched senators that still know what it means to do the right thing. And I think we need to find those people. We need to start electing them, and it means more work, and it's a lot harder. Term limits is a shortcut that I don't think is the right solution.
Well, let me just follow up real quick, Bing. Thank you, because you've just helped me continue to keep the way that I've always felt. That's just the way I was starting to lean. But in answer to what you just said, part of that's going to be by getting out there and working in the minority communities, and not just at election time, and not just because of gay marriage or abortion or whatever. It's going to be getting in those communities and saying, look, we can help by empowering you to build and create a business within your community.
You know what's ironic about the urban community and the lack of conservative success there? We're talking about a community that is sort of, its personality is one that doesn't really love authority, right? I mean, so I don't understand why limited government hasn't been a better sale in the urban community. I find it ironic and kind of crazy. And I think if we approach the urban community the way you just described it, I think that'll mean more conservative senators. I think it'll mean more senators running, just forgetting the parties for a second, just assuming Republicans. I think it'll mean more conservative Republicans that will run on something other than the life issue. See, let me. Because when you mentioned Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch, the reason why you have Todd Akins and Richard Murdochs happening, and I mean as events, not people, the reason why those things happen is because the people stuffing the envelopes are pro-life advocates. the people stuffing the envelopes are evangelical people. And so if those are the only people doing it, if those are the only people doing the work, then that's who's going to get catered to. And I think if we were able to start to communicate in the urban community, we get people in the urban community focused on more fiscal issues, focused on whatever it is that we need them to focus on, property rights. I mean, my God, guys, I mean, do you think eminent domain hurts anybody worse than it hurts poor urban Americans? I mean, that's who gets hurt the worst from eminent domain. We're not talking about it. We're not talking about it to them, and it's so offensive to me. So offensive.
Well, it's not really the message. It's the way it's displayed, you know, in my opinion.
Well, no, I think it's a lack of willingness to actually get in there and talk to them. I think there's been a lack of engagement, in my opinion. You're right, but I think there's been a lack of engagement.
C.L. Pastor Bryant described it the best in Runaway Slave. The Democratic Party takes the black community for granted, and the Republican Party completely ignores it. I've learned, obviously we have some mutual friends. I've learned so much from Stacey Swimp, Christopher Arps, Ken McClendon, K. Carl Smith. These gentlemen have, because I've sought them out and asked them questions in private messages, you know, how can I be a better grassroots conservative in selling our message, the message that we believe in as brothers in the conservative movement, to black Americans? Because the minute I say I'm a Republican or a conservative, you know, the wall is built. So it's a matter in how you start the conversation to begin with.
Right. And Kim McClinton, God bless him, he's been on the board of the ACP for years. And he's been very active with us, and he's been trying his hardest to start a group for the ACP in the District of Columbia. And we're talking about somebody who lives in Marion Barry's district, right? And I can't say that he's had a ton of success, but he has had a couple of meetings and a couple of conversations and some people hearing a limited government message on things like health care and taxes and things like that. And it does, you know, I've been there for a couple of those conversations, and it's amazing to watch people's lights go off when you talk about something other than Republicans and Democrats. It has to be about ideas. Otherwise, they don't get it. They don't stick.
Absolutely. Well, Bing, should we bring in some...
Yeah, let me just get this out of the way. You're listening to Soldiers Patriotism on conservativenationradio.org. The number here is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And we're talking to Butch Porter from the American, let me get this right here, AmericanConservativeParty.org. That's their website. It's the American Conservative Party. And we're going to bring in a couple callers that want to talk to you. One is Scott Whiting. Scott, you're on live with us with Butch.
Well, if anything, now you know why I'm a dues-paid member of the American Conservative Party.
Yeah, I figured.
And thank you for hooking us up with Butch, Brother Scott.
Gladly.
Hey, thank you,
Scott. Thanks for the hookup.
You know, you guys, the way you've been talking lately, you sound like you're about ready to get drafted. So I figured, if anything, you know, you need to at least hear it so you can make your own informed decision.
Yeah,
I'm so tired.
Consumed in the fight.
Yeah, and I'm so tired. You know, this is the whole thing with me, is that the fight is not supposed to be with me and people that I thought agreed with me, but it's with me and people that don't agree with me, but I'm fighting another fight. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm fighting against the people that they're supposed to be on my side, and it's not working out very well. So,
well, I think, you know, to answer that, the challenge is fear. I mean, I may have told Scott this, but there's a statistic out there of what happens when, you know, third parties or independents run for office. And that is that they will get about half on election day what they were polled the day before. So if you have like a third party candidate who's running for Senate or Congress or whatever, wherever they are, and they poll at 10% the day before, they'll get 5% of the polls. And the reason is because there's a fear. There's a fear. When people go to the polls, they are scared to not vote Republican or Democrat. There's literally a fear. There's one state where that's not true, where if you poll 10%, you'll get 10%, and that's Minnesota. Anybody want to guess why Minnesota is that way, that it doesn't have that same fear? They had an independent governor. So, right? They had an independent governor, Jesse Ventura, and plus Minnesota. I mean, let's be honest, that's a pretty crazy place anyway. So they're not normal. The Democrat Party doesn't even really officially operate in Minnesota. So, but the point is that there's a fear. There's a fear of splitting the vote, getting a Democrat elected. You know, let's just say it. I mean, that's what the fear is. And that's a tactical thing, not a principle thing. And if that's the case, the answer to that is don't worry about it unless there's an actual election that involves a conservative that you want to stay in there. I mean, if there's a conservative that's going to stay in there, then obviously we want to support them. The ACP should support them. Everybody should support them. But if they're not getting it done, if they're not like Frank Wolf, for instance, there's somebody who I would not mind replacing with a Democrat. I mean, because the truth is, on the real core things that matter, as I've alluded to before, farm bills and transportation bills and not doing anything to limit government, he's useless. So why worry about splitting the vote? That doesn't mean we run any schmuck with a T-shirt as an independent just to get the word out about the party or split the vote or make a point or, you know, fight the two-party system or whatever. It's really about focusing on the right set of ideas and focusing on every level of government and advocating for those ideas. And when the opportunity comes, when the right race comes with the right candidate, and that's when you run somebody and not until then. It's a movement first, party second. That's really what it is. Everybody should operate that way regardless of what party they're in.
That's correct. I'm going to go ahead and get a brother Ron from Georgia in here. Thanks, Scott. If you got anything else, go ahead and opine.
Hey, man.
But I got
what?
Ron. Hey, Ron,
hey,
how you doing?
You what's got me? If I wasn't already upset enough this week about everything that's going on, I read a link today that Danny Shouse put up. I know a lot of y'all know him. But it was on those 45 statements that the Communist Party put out, you know, about, what was it, 55 or something when they put them out? And reading and looking at how few of the things that the Communists needed to do to have us taken over completely. And there's only a couple of them. And then on top of that, I go on to Twitter, and there's on Facebook, and there's a entry in there of how much help that the American Communist Party is going to give the Democrats in 2014. Man, we better get our stuff together and get behind some people and get them in office, get them running for this stuff in 2014, and we're going to get our behinds cleaned out.
Well, you know, Ron, you bring up a good point, and I want to ask Butch to address that. You know, because you started off, Butch, talking about third parties, and I think that's been our greatest fear. 2012 is a good example. We were all upset with the Ron Paul folks, and, you know, as it turns out, we couldn't even win the election. I mean, we didn't even have as many people turn out to vote in 2012 that voted in 2008. So apparently the conservative movement is not going to play ball with the establishment Republican Party. That may mean we might lose a lot of elections for the next 20 years. I don't know. But if we continue to buy into this horse hockey about, well, you know, if you 40 to 50% of the conservatives in the Republican Party don't play ball with what we want to do, then nobody wins. Well, I'm not going to play that ball anymore. I'm not, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Or as I just told Scott on Facebook, Scott Whiting, my dues are going to be sent in this week to the American Conservative Party. I'm sold. I mean, I'm a roast. Base me. I'm done with the Republican Party.
I'm a roast. Base me. That's great. Well, look, I think you're right. I think it is there is a point beyond which we just can't take it anymore. And I'm amazed. You know, I had somebody tell me, speaking of social issues, I talked to somebody in Michigan, and they're like,
well, you know, the Republicans are, you know, they're caving on the gay rights issue. I'm like, man, that is a concern, but is that what it took? I mean, my Lord God, I mean, we've had decades of, but especially the last 10 years, of bailing on everything, on every single solitary principle that they supposedly hold dear. And it's 2013 and we still haven't made the move. I mean, that's crazy. I think it's really odd that we can look at the Republican Party and still think that changing them and is going to make any difference. I don't think that's what needs to be changed. What needs to be changed is the body politic and how they look at things, why they vote for what they vote for. I mean, look, I had a conversation with Walter Williams a while back when I was doing a show like you guys are, and he told me he felt like that the average American voter just doesn't care about liberty anymore, and they just don't care, and that's the position we're in. I think the Republican Party will lose the next three presidential races. I really do. I don't see a way out unless we do something about, as Michael alluded to, these urban nightmares that are controlled by the Democrat Party machines. If the Republican Party is not going to make inroads there, then somebody else needs to, and that's one of the things we need to do. The other thing, kind of I guess somebody alluded to it earlier, is our educational system. We need to start getting involved in our local public schools, and we need to start really pushing our state legislators for school choice initiatives, and we need to start making sure that this Common Core thing doesn't destroy us.
We're looking at a
whole generation that's already been brainwashed. We can't afford another one. I mean, to the gentleman from Georgia's point, I mean, 2004, we're going to get our butts kicked. We're talking about a generation if we don't do something really fast. And I think those are issues. School choice is an issue that crosses boundaries. There are folks from the left, right, and the middle. The other one, I think, is food and sustainable development, and this whole anti-meat thing that's going on. That's a really crazy thing. It sounds kind of off the, you know, it sounds sort of off the reservation, but it's one of those things that we have to pay attention to. Once the federal government decides they want to tell us what to eat, look, in New York, they tried to ban 32-ounce sodas. I mean, what is going on? I mean, that's right in somebody's backyard. That's like in a city, right? So we really need to, as Michael alluded to earlier, is really consistently work at the local and state level, nationally too, but local and state, I think, on a daily basis, to make sure that people are thinking about what kind of power they're giving their government. And if people aren't thinking that way when it comes to putting somebody up for office, all they're going to see is R&D.
Well, that education thing is so important, Butch. We had a fight, a huge fight, and we won. Conservative grassroots won with the help of Senator Dan Patrick against – we didn't allow Common Core in Texas, but they backed
down. Yeah, I know.
Bill Ayers and Linda Darling Hamilton, an Obama acolyte that wrote what we call the C-Scope initiative. They backdoored us, but we've outlawed it. I mean, it started off where they were going to have to start. These folks didn't even want to share the curriculum, which by the Constitution of the state of Texas, public school educators are required to share the curriculum with us, but it was with textbook, and this is a digital curriculum, and it fell outside of the law. They found a loophole. So we ultimately got it outlawed. It's being pulled out of all the 800 and some odd districts that it had been put in.
It's a dangerous exercise, and I putting the federal government in charge of education was always a dangerous exercise. That's why we need to eliminate the entire apparatus. But I think Texas is setting a great example there. I think Alaska is another one that completely turned it down. In Virginia, I live in Virginia, we turned down the funding. And we sort of opted into it kind of halfway, but I think it was I don't think it was enough. I think we should have stayed out of it completely. But those are long-term things, but they're things that we have to start working on. I think if we focus on 2014 and 2016, and that's all we worry about is Congress and the White House, we're going to continue to lose because we have to start getting people thinking a different way. And as soon as you say R or D, as soon as you say Congress, as soon as you say White House, then people have these little switches they turn on, and they don't think about things in a rational way. And it's not their fault. It's the way we've all been conditioned. But I think we need to think about what our town council is doing, what our city council is doing, what our county board of supervisors is doing, what our state legislature is doing, what our school board is doing. We have to stay engaged in those things. And in the end, from a party perspective, if you know, assuming everybody on here becomes an ACT member, the idea is that if we project 6, 8, 10 years down the road, if we've had successes at the local level, electorally and otherwise, then it's a lot easier to run somebody for Congress or the White House. And that's what we have to kind of keep in mind, is that we're not in a world right now where a $5 million congressional seat is within reach of a third party. We have to think long term, and we have to build from the ground up, and we have to build on the basis of ideas. And it's going
well, you know, we're talking about a party with the RNC, just to use the last convention for an example, or the even CPAC. I was quite surprised at them. K. Carl Smith wanted to do some classes on how to approach the minority communities, the urban centers, the urban communities, and teach grassroots activists how to go into those communities and address them in a way where the wall wasn't put up immediately. They said
right.
No to it.
Well, the way to do that is to not talk about some schmuck getting elected. I mean, that's the first thing. I mean, I missed that. I was at CPAC, but we were speaking of conservative and nation, AC Nation Radio. We had a booth there on Radio Row, and so I was there most of the time, so I didn't see a lot of the speeches and the sessions. But I think as soon as you start talking about a candidate, then you're automatically people's defenses go up, and if it has an R by their name, their defenses definitely go up. And I think you're right. We can engage, and we can talk about things in a way that they get, that they understand, and that they care about, you know. And that's true for everybody. That's true for rural America, for farmers. It's true for educators in suburbia, and it's true for, you know, urban communities when it comes to their property and their success in life. So
exactly. Well, I don't know if Bing stepped away, but we do have if you've got just a few more minutes, Butch, and I want to thank you for joining us today. But we've got Barbara Buffing, one of our hosts of another show on our network. Well, actually, we've got two folks sitting here. Dave may be calling in because it's about time for him to call in and promote his show for tomorrow night. But he may have a question for you, as well as Barbara. Let me go ahead and pull in Barbara real quick. There's Bing. Bing, I just pulled in Barbara to address Butch, and then we can pull in Dave. And then we can if Dave's got a question for Butch, then we can go into Dave's thing about whatever he's doing tomorrow night.
Hi, everybody.
That sounds cool.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Butch, for all your information. I do have a question, though. We, right now, in our states, when we vote for people like Rubio, who swears up and down he's for us, with us, and constitutional, and blah, 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 and then he turns on us.
Right.
What, in the conservative party that you have, what to stop someone from doing the same thing?
Well, you mean within the conservative party, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, I think that's a great point. And I think Scott and I might have talked about this at one point. I think, and we're kind of in, you know, we're in the, our beginning stages, as you will, but, The answer to that is to not have an apparatus which requires incumbents to automatically be supported by the committee, right? So in other words, if you have an apparatus which elects someone based on their principles and what they hold dear and what they want to accomplish, then I think that same apparatus should vet incumbents with the same sort of vigor. And so, in other words, if you had a Republican Party in Florida, for you're talking about Florida, right? If you're talking about a Republican Party in Florida,
I'll use that as an example. Yes.
Yeah, but when somebody from the Republican Party of Florida is up for re-election for state senate or U.S. House or whatever, if you had an apparatus by which they were approved for re-nomination, not just primaried, but in other words, if the committee said you're going to have to show that you followed our principles, or we're not going to work for you for another term, then that would work, wouldn't it?
But isn't that what we do now?
I've never known a Republican committee to actually vet their incumbent other than through a primary. If that's the case, then I want to see how that works. Because that's the ACP. I don't know who it is. It could be me. But I think it's important for us to vet incumbents. And I don't think the Republican Party, at least here in Virginia, I've never known the Republican Party to really do that, not to any degree. If there's not a primary opponent, then there is no vetting. And if there is a primary opponent, it's very rare that the incumbent loses.
Right.
So,
thanks, Barbara, very much. Brother Bings, sorry about that, brother. I muted you. We got some static coming in on your line. I don't know. I muted us both trying to isolate it. But stand by, brother. Sorry. And Butch, this is Bings' show today. He's, you know, we kind of alternate taking the leads.
Sure,
we're partners.
Sure, gotcha.
We're partners in this Conservative Nation radio thing, and as well as this show. And, of course, we've got, you know, kudos to our general manager, who, by the way, check out our website sometime, Butch. It's conservativenationradio.org. Our GM, Teresa Brusky, has done an outstanding job on it. And we are the mouthpiece. Most of us consider ourselves traditional Americans. So I think we're a good fit for the American Conservative Party, which, by the way, I did send a friend request on the American Conservative Party Facebook page, just waiting. Scott said to let you know so you could approve me.
I'll do that.
Sure, we've got Dave Vance, who is the host of Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance, one of our new shows here at Conservative Nation Radio. Dave, did you want to jump in on this conversation with Butch before he has to go?
Just real quick, no question. Great, you know, great points. I agree. You know, let's remember GOP stands for Gang of Progressives. We can't trust them. In Tennessee, we've gotten the best that we can buy with money, which has given us Alexander, Corker, and Haslam. So obviously that's not working too well. So we definitely need to do something. It won't happen overnight, but we definitely need to do something. Tomorrow night's Inside Tennessee, brought to you by Tennessee Action Council. And our guest tomorrow night, we're going to have Johnny McDaniel, who will talk about a possible challenger to Lamar Alexander. We're going to have Dave Nance, who's going to talk about the fair tax. Dave Fowler is going to talk about the impact of the DOMA Supreme Court decision in Tennessee. And Pete Whitman will talk to us about Obamacare in Tennessee. So that's tomorrow night from 6 to 8 Central, Inside Tennessee.
Thank you so much.
Bing and Mike, great show. I appreciate it. Thank you, Butch. We'll talk at you
no
later.
Problem.
Take care.
Thanks a lot, Dave. We'll talk to you later. Well, Butch, we're winding down here. I want to give you some time, and I had to mute Bing again. When Bing's talking, I'm going to have to get Bing talking, because when he's talking, there's no static there. It's the American Conservative Party, which is I've got it right here, AmericanConservativeParty.org. I've been browsing the website, great website. We're going to throw a link on I'm going to ask Teresa Brusky to throw a link. You could be looking for my dues coming this week. I'm sold on the American Conservative Party. Look, I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I'm done with the GOP. I've had it up to my eyeballs with these folks. I really want to thank you for coming on and entertaining and enlightening our guests today. I just want to give you the floor and just let you close up however you want, and thank you so much for answering all of mine and Bing's questions today. Bing, jump in when you're ready to talk, brother.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. I think you hit a lot of the notes that, you know, so that I didn't have to. So I appreciate the support. I'm glad that Scott hooked us up. But just to kind of address, you know, the things we want to focus on, those three things I tell everybody when they get involved with the ACP or they're thinking about it, is one is that this is a long-term endeavor. We're talking decades of effort to accomplish what we need to accomplish in this country, and that's just not as a party, but that's as a movement. And two, the second thing is that nothing happens until humans get together in rooms. So we can talk on the radio, we can do Facebook groups, and we can build websites, and we can link and blah, blah, blah. But when it boils down to it, we have to have humans getting together in rooms locally, getting petitions signed, and advocating for limited government. And the third thing is, as I said earlier, movement first and party second. So the ACP is about the conservative movement. It's about limited government, which is an area that the GOP has failed miserably, and that's where we focus like a laser. And we're willing to do what it takes to support those Republicans that we feel like hold our values, but in a free country, we reserve the right to run somebody against them if they don't. So I really appreciate y'all taking the time. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of issues out there. There's a lot of positions. There's a lot of policies. And so our platform is right there on the front of our page. If y'all have any questions, y'all can shoot a note to info@amcomparty.org, or Scott knows how to get a hold of me. And so I look forward to talking to y'all again. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you very much, Butch. Bing,
thank you, Butch. Yeah, thanks, Butch. Thanks so much for being on. And that was Butch Porter from the American Conservative Party.com or .org. I'm sorry, I keep getting that wrong. I don't know why. But and the number here is 718-305-7176. If you want to get in a quick call,
you
can do
that.
Brother,
what did you think about that? I mean, I know you and I, we've talked with,
I'm
pretty much done with the RNC and the GOP.
There is one candidate that I'm supporting that, you know, he is, you know, with the GOP so far.
Oh, well, absolutely. So, and there will be candidates, you know, that we're going to support that run as Republicans. I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest, brother. The vast majority of the folks that we're going to support are going to be, they're going to have R's beside their name. I mean,
correct.
I guess, you know, but will the party as a whole get any more of our money? No, absolutely not. I mean, I know they won't get any of mine. Joe Carr will get some of my money. Ted Cruz will get some of my money. Matt Krause, whoever we decide, well, Connie Burton, who I'm hoping that we win the primary with to run against Queenie Davis. Those individuals with R's beside their names will get my money, but the R, Rich Priebus isn't getting another freaking dime of my money.
No. When you give it to an organization like you do, maybe, you know, I'm not picking out the Red Cross or United Way or whatever, but, I mean, that gets split up between whatever goals they have. But the thing is that when you support an individual candidate, that's a lot different. That I think that's where your money goes a lot further than what you expect.
You know, and from what I gathered, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this what you gathered right now? This is kind of like Tom Hoefling's The American Party, another good group that I support. That's just it's another group of like-minded individuals that are banding together, and as of right now, anyway, they'll all probably be voting R as well. But as a voting block of people, it gives them more leverage. The only way I really know how to make an analogy of it is just, again, by going back to Texas and what, as the all the various Tea Party, you know, all the Keller Boiling Point, the Northeast Tarrant County, my buddy Katrina Pearson, her Dallas Tea Party, you know, Toby Walker down in Waco, the Waco, you know, the folks down in Clear Lake Tea Party, you know, all the very Ray Myers out in East Texas in his big group, you know, all these various small groups of Tea Parties were pretty much on the same page. We were able to bring pressure to bear on Austin. So this is really what these kind, you know, the Conservative Party, the American Conservative Party, the that this is the kind of, as groups, the kind of pressure they can bring to bear on those folks that we're going to be voting for.
Well, yeah, it's like with Patrick Leahy's group, you know. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, they're looking at it in a little bit different perspective. And the GOP of old and the DNC too. I mean, the DNC has been raped. I mean, they're pretty much, you know, they're not the party of John F. Kennedy and so on. You know, they haven't been for many years, you know. And the GOP.
You think?
And look, yeah, you think. And the thing is that I sit there and I go, you know, with this amnesty bill now going to the House, and if all that we have to worry about is John Boehner in between that bill, then we've got some serious freaking problems. Don't you think?
But you know, being you, that's a good analogy. The Democratic Party's been raped, but so has the Republican Party, and in particular, you and I, we've been raped, and we didn't even get the courtesy of a reach around.
No, not a kiss or anything. You know, hi, honey, thanks. not even a cigarette. You know, I mean, you know, it's gotten to the point where it's extremely weird. You know, both the parties seem, and I think it's like the Republican Party wants to sit there and court, the low income wage earners or something, and the DNC wants to court the votes, and they're both wrong, in my opinion, because you're not going to get either, because these people, when you talk to them, they don't want to be here. They want to be here only to make the money. They don't want to be here to be citizens of the United States. So the vote is minuscule. It doesn't count. It really, to me, it they don't want that. If they would, they would sit there and do it the right way. And these people
right.
that offer them amnesty is, you know, right now I'm talking about the amnesty bill, which just totally ticks me off. Okay, that the Senate sits there, this gang of eight. And, you know, with Marco Rubio, and you've got John McCain and all these other people in there, Lindsey Graham, amnesty, you know, that is not the way, that's not the way it's supposed to be for the path to citizenship to this country. And it never was, and it never will be. And I think they are looking at some kind of road. I don't know, you know, remember that movie where Roddy Piper's got those glasses that he finds, and he sees these aliens?
Yeah.
Walking around all the time. I mean, I don't know what the movie was, but it was a good movie. But I think that's what they're wearing. They're wearing these glasses, but it doesn't show them the aliens. It shows them some kind of freaked out society that they don't even have no they're not in touch with. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's hard for me to sit there and try to figure these people anymore, man. It's very hard.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, should we give a few minutes to our folks? I've got something loading up here to take us out musically, unless you've already got something.
I was doing that too, but it's still sitting here loading, so let's go ahead and get some folks in. You can play yours because mine, I think, is stalled. So, we got Scott Lang.
Fortunately, my internet did go out today. Can you believe that?
That's cool. Very cool. We got Scott, we got Ron, and we got Barbara all on the same line. You guys are open. Somebody's got some feedback, though.
Well, it's been a...
Okay. Go ahead, Ron.
It's a good show. Let somebody else talk. Good grief. Y'all hear enough of me.
you blow hard.
You got to love his frank. You got to love Ron's frankness.
All right, Scott, go ahead. Any closing thoughts?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is, I have to say, I think Butch pretty much rocked the house.
Yeah, he did a great job. Great job.
I was very impressed, but then again, I've chatted with him on the phone in the past. So
well,
I knew that would pretty much hit just dead on with you guys.
I think I found a comfortable home. I got a few bucks I can loosen up.
I already have.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get some attention here, I think. I mean, you know, for what he was talking about and so on, I mean, everything pretty much hit the nail on the head for me. And like I said, I'm so tired, so tired. And Scott, I know you've talked about this before on Facebook and so on. We're just so tired of fighting our own party, you know. When they should be supporting us, and we're sitting there fighting them.
And Scott even mentioned the other day he's getting the daily phone calls from Tea Party Patriots, which we all get. I get a half a dozen emails a day from them wanting money, a half a dozen phone calls. You know, that lady that runs that group, she lives like a fan. And I don't begrudge her any of this, but these bigger Tea Party groups, I mean, look, I love my little local Tea Party group. It's, you know, it's a good little group. We ain't got no money, but we work our butts off. But these bigger groups, they've become as useless as the Republican Party.
Yes, they have. Heck, they're, you know, half infiltrated by party loyalists and others anyway.
And, I mean, I know this is no stranger to you, Bean. I know the problems that you've had with some of them. But that's why we're traditional Americans. I mean, and look, our brother Kurt, he's GOP Republican chairman, and I think that's great. I mean, we're going to have to infiltrate the party. We've got to get into our local county GOPs, and we've got to take a lesson from Brother Kurt. But we've got to go in there with the principles of and the backing of other groups like the American Conservative Party that are going to help us to get the job done. Scott Butch was absolutely right. The only way we're going to change things is at the local level. We're not going to change it on a national scale.
Local first. The biggest reason is, let's face it, your state rep may eventually be your state senator, who may eventually become your congressman.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and it's the same thing with the laws. It's the same thing with these laws. Like, you know, Butch was talking about Christie, you know, making, you know, 20-ounce drinks illegal. When we start sitting there and we start holding other people's freedoms and rights, you know, whether it be smoking, whether it be whatever, we have to understand that that's going to come back and hit you in the butt sooner or later, because it's going to be your right that they want to take away, and they keep wanting to take away. They want control, and, you know, we have to get control away from them.
Absolutely. Well, brother, I think it's the end of the show.
Yeah, go and play your outro, man, because mine is not uploaded yet or something.
Okay, well, I'm going to take us back to one of our old ones, because I think this is an appropriate one today, having Butch Porter on, and thank you, Scott, for bringing him to our attention.
Gladly.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
All of our friends out there, and brother, just thanks for being in Mind of Being's life. We do greatly appreciate you. And look, folks, there is no turning back.
mine, we breathe the same air. Lonely roads and freight trains will keep us sane. And you're out there doing what you would die for. You would die for.